This is a production of Cornell University.
In about a minute, so if you could,
GPSA meeting, September 8th, 2008.
Okay, we're going to get started. I'm calling this meeting to order at 5:34 p.m. We're going to get started, as the agenda states, with welcome and introductions. And first, I'd like to start with introducing the executive board. My name is Mario Guerrero, and I'm the executive vice president for GPSA. To my left is Michelle Leinfelder. She is the president, madam president. And to my right is DeAndra Rose. She's vice president of operations. And just for time's sakes, we're not necessarily going to go around the room because there's so many of us. That's one of the reasons why we have our name tags, but I do want to move to the introduction of some of our guests. And so from the graduate school, we have a number of reps, and I'll go ahead and hand it over to Ellen Gaynor, Dean Gaynor, to introduce her staff.
After they arrive, and ideally before they arrive, that's even better, so you're welcome at all times. In Philadelphia, I don't know what else to say, I came, and I love my job. So, unless you have any questions, I will introduce my colleagues, Lightning Speed over there, Karen Hale, especially for all important things.
Graduate school, the operations, right? So the admissions process, the financial aid,
Don't be shy. Well, thank you. If there are any questions, we'll... Oh, Jörn.
Forward with. I think another initiative that Brendan also centrally involved help your fellow grad students to identify individuals who can serve as effective mentors for you as you go through your graduate program and take the next steps into the beginnings of your professional career. Other issues that were an initiative that is all important.
There's a kind of transition in a way as well. We had a grant from the Council of Graduate Schools focused on climate inclusion, which is focusing on development and faculty and students who are climate inclusion. So the grant was 3 years to do 3 years, and this is actually the third one of the year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting that.
So we had money to do things, and now we another grant, we're trying to utilize things that we have and incorporate them.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you. Again, if there are any other questions that you come up with in the future, you're more than welcome to share it with the executive board and we can relay them and bring back an answer. Thank you very much,
Dean
Gingham. We appreciate it. Next, we want to have the student trustees introduce themselves. They're in the back of the room hiding out a little bit. Any other questions? Great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks. Wanted to introduce our lovely staff. Actually, we have Amy and Ellie, but do you want to say a little something? No? Just a hello? They, they help us out a lot. They take the minutes. They help us with the setup of the room and the food, so they're very important people to carry out these meetings. So thank you, both of you. And I think there's also a rep here from the Undergraduate Student Assembly. So if you just want to say hello and give us your name.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm a liaison from the Undergraduate Student Assembly. I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Great, thanks a lot. We're going to move on. I just wanted to briefly kind of give or talk a little bit about the difference between the assembly meetings and the Council of Representative meetings. And I want to ask Michelle to help me if I mess something up. But essentially, Michelle leads the assembly meetings, and that's all those that were elected to serve on the assembly. The Council of Representative meetings, that is a meeting of both the assembly members and field representatives, and there's, you know, just, I don't know if we have about 100 different fields. And so we obviously don't have all the various representatives from all the fields, but that's a goal that we have every year, to try to get someone that represents each field here for the meeting. So if you know of anyone that, any field that doesn't have a representative, and, you know, you can somehow put them in touch with us, that would be really great to get them here. Each of the meetings happens once a month, and I think that's kind of in a nutshell the main idea and the differences between the two. But does anyone at all have a question about the two, or are confused what the differences are between the two meetings? There's also we have a website that kind of goes into it a little bit further, so if you have any questions, you can feel free to ask us or check us out on GPSA
assembly.cornell.edu
/GPSA. Just type in GPSA Cornell and we'll come up. We're going to move on to an open forum. This is the time where anything that's not on the agenda, you have the floor to talk about it, to maybe give us an issue to work on in the future. So is there any, and this is also a time to make any particular announcements. Does anyone have anything to bring up? Okay, Nick?
Well, I don't know if this is on the agenda, but...
Nick, I'm sorry, actually you are on the agenda? I actually... You're on a... Okay, you want to do it now? Okay, quick.
It's just a quick plug, so I'm Nick Rudo. I'm with Genetic Touch, and I serve as a representative to the University Neighborhood Council, which is... Cornell has a bunch of people in this meeting, but it's people from all the surrounding neighborhoods that kind of thing, got to find out about how the university impacts the local area and vice versa, and how much they see students basically. But one of the cool things that I get to hear about is one of the guys that comes to talk is on the board for it's the car share. And I don't know how many people, I've seen a lot of cars around town, but I don't know if everyone pays attention, but it's a new idea in Ithaca, so I encourage you to check it out. So IthacaCarShare.org, and it's a really cool idea that they're trying to reduce kind of the amount of traffic, and they're trying to basically be more environmentally friendly. And so they have, I don't know all the information off the top of my head, but you can find out much more information at the website. But basically what it is there are cars at random locations around town and on campus that you can use for a small fee, but they pay for insurance, gas, maintenance, everything else, but the cars are located, hopefully, within somewhere that you can use. And this year, the reason I mentioned it is that there's a membership fee based on the two different classes that you want to use. Basically, it depends on how frequently you want to use the car, but that membership fee is being subsidized by the university. So if there's a bigger plan, the university cuts, I think, $60 off, and a smaller plan, they pay for the entire membership fee. So this is only available if you enroll by September 15th, which is why I mentioned at this meeting. So I'll try to type something up, or maybe just test the word on people that don't know. And there is a $30 membership fee, but I think as long as you meet all the criteria, you should be able to join. And I would encourage you to join the happy vehicle. It's 250, the university doesn't cover it, so it's 140 or free, basically, if it's Cornell is money. So I encourage people to take a community car every once in a while. They also have, there's this little Nissan that they have, but they also have a truck that has the permit to go to the dump if you need it to get rid of a bunch of stuff. So I encourage everyone to check it out. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Nick. Is there anybody else that has an issue to bring up? I know Michelle has two. Yes.
The University Assembly had their first meeting last week on Wednesday, and there was a call for a more productive academic integrity committee. They're a little short on grads who want to serve on this committee. They're looking for any grad from anywhere in this university. It doesn't have to be from the GPSA. So if there's anybody in their respective department who's interested in serving on the academic integrity committee, they're moving towards making more tangible policies for the university and making a more concrete, unified vision for the university. Campus climate, culture. So I encourage you to email me. You can email me at pbb3@cornell.edu, or you can look me up on the GPSA webpage.
Okay, Michelle.
So two, is this working? Two events to make note of.
Just have to get close to it.
Okay, the first one, I'm going to hand out some flyers. So last year, or perhaps it was 2 years ago, we started working with local businesses, namely Felicia's Atomic Lounge downtown on State Street, to have grads night out. And so we've scheduled another one of those events. Basically, it's just a time to go and hang out, and there are discounted drinks for grad students. And so I have some flyers. Please take some and post them around your building. And all the information is posted on there. And then the second item is that in 2 weeks for our business meeting, September 22nd, I'm already thinking about February's meeting, but President Skorton is going to be coming as our special guest to the assembly meeting. So while it is a business meeting, it's open to all GPSA members, including council members like yourselves. So please come and engage in discussion with President Skorton if you are available and interested.
Anything else for open forum? Okay, great. We're going to move on to executive updates, and actually I'm going to give it right back to Michelle.
Okay, so just a few things. We do have a tight agenda, but I just want to make sure you all are aware of some of the things that have happened so far. GPSA basically goes on summer vacation, but there are some things that we accomplished during the summer, a group of us, especially the assembly members. So we had an assembly retreat for the voting members, which was yesterday. It was just a time for us to get together and discuss some goals for the coming year. And so feel free to talk to any of the assembly voting members that have green tags if you're interested in learning more about what we discussed. But I can go ahead and send the goal sheet around over email so you can all be apprised of what we talked about. The second thing, we made a visit to Geneva. This was something that we talked about last year, and in reaction to the Graduate Community Initiative, where we state a vision of connecting our satellite campuses, connecting graduate students from even within our own campus, we decided that it was important to connect with the graduate students who are in Geneva and find out more about their concerns. And so a group of us went up to Geneva the end of August and met with the students there in the SAGES group, which is the Student Association of the Geneva Experiment Station. And we learned one of their main concerns, which in fact Brian will be talking about later, involving health insurance for the Geneva students. And it was great just to connect the students from the GPSA and SAGES, because in fact we are their voice in terms of connecting them with administrators and their concerns to administrators. And so with that, I also just want to introduce Mira. Mira is one of our council representatives for food science, but she comes down from Geneva for these meetings. Last year she was here in Ithaca, but now her research takes her up to the Geneva Experiment Station. So it just goes to show the dedication of our council members coming all the way down from Geneva to make these meetings. And then the last thing that I'll point out is, as I'm sure you all know, the university is in this kind of transition period. We have a temporary provost, an acting provost, David Harris, who was originally the deputy provost. He's filling the role while Biddy Martin moves herself to the University of Madison. So so in this time, we're in the process of selecting a new provost, and as GPSA president, I've been asked to serve on the provost selection committee. So while I can't really talk about the things that we're discussing within the committee, I just wanted you to know that the university is reaching out to graduate students and is interested in the things that we have to say about this very important office. So.
Great. I'm going to pass it on to Deandra.
Hello, everybody. I'm not very loud, and I'll probably sound kind of obnoxious because I'm yelling, but can you guys hear me in the far back? Okay. Do I sound obnoxious? Okay. So one of my responsibilities for GPSA is to help the university get graduate student representation on committees. And this is one of my favorite topics because I think committees provide such an excellent opportunity for grads, and I really want to encourage every single person here to try to serve on at least one committee this year, and I promise that it will be a rewarding experience. So I have a list here, and it is not my – I have two lists. I have my complete and accurate committee list, but I've scribbled all over it, and so I have a slightly annotated list. But it's a sign-up sheet with a couple committees that have openings, and I'm just hoping that you'll write down your name, your email address, and your field so that I can get back to you with the full list. And hopefully, if you have an idea of a committee you'd like to serve on, we can talk about that. But we're making committee appointments this week. So there's an online website where you can you go to the GPSA homepage, and there's a link that says committees, and there's another link that says get involved, and it'll take you right to the electronic application. It's very quick and easy to do. We have openings in the trustee nominee, well, in addition to the university committees, I'll start with our in-house committees. So we have openings on the advocacy committee, which was formerly pay and benefits, the communications committee, the finance commission, funding policy committee. And I really want to quickly want to introduce the committee chairs for these. So if you guys wouldn't mind standing up and giving a wave, I'd appreciate it. The chair of the advocacy committee is Brian. Brian in the house. Chair of the finance commission is Nighthawk. The chair of the funding policy committee is Yuren. The chair of the communications committee is Mario. The chair of the executive committee is Michelle. And am I forgetting anybody?
Well, events committee.
And the chair of the events committee, please stand up. So this is a vacancy. We're looking for somebody who's creative, exciting. I see so many faces who can sit this. who I know want to serve as the events chair for this year. So this is a really important opening. I hope that somebody here will, some fun person sitting right near me, or anybody here would want to consider it. No pressure, Preston.
And the election is...
Yeah, so, yeah, please do. If you have any questions about committees or anything, give me a holler. I like to talk. And I think I'm done for now. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, I just want to add that the actual election of the events chair will be on the 22nd, is it, of September during the assembly's meeting. Now it's my little report. One thing that was mentioned is I'm chair of the GPSA Communications Committee, and as part of that, we have GPSA Info, which is a regularly scheduled newsletter that goes out to all graduate students that are signed up for this listserv. We're trying to change it so that the first one actually goes out to all graduate students and that they're able to opt out, because we feel it's important that graduate students know about the work that we do, what their student fee pays for, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be out. Hopefully the first version is going to be out on the 15th, and that's kind of one of the things I do. So if you're willing and able to help, let me know sometime after this meeting, and that I'll be happy to have a committee meeting and do some work there. I want to talk a little bit about the orientation work that we did. During orientation, the new student graduate orientation, the executive board, mainly Michelle, had the opportunity to address the incoming students and tell them a little bit about what we do, and hopefully that's one of the reasons why some of you are here. We also had a number of events where we were present. We had a table present during registration. We had an ice cream social. And at both of those events, we were trying to sign people up for the GPSA info, just kind of as a backup in case something goes wrong with getting all graduate students involved in the listserv. And that pretty much is my report. We're going to move on to committee reports, and Brian and Briani are going to give a report for the Advocacy Committee.
Brian, why don't you take a mic with you?
Thank you.
I wanted to point out, Michelle wanted me to point out here that there's a sheet, just holding it up, that has everyone's names on it, so that might help us out, especially being the first meeting. I don't know everybody's name, so bear with us, but you can certainly use that to help you identify people. Next, we have the Office of Work Diversity, Equity, and Life Quality. We have a presentation. Are those folks here? Great. And I just wanted to point out, there's a handout, and I don't think we have enough copies. So if you have one and someone next to you doesn't have it, if you can share with them, that would be really great. It was sent over email about 4 o'clock or so, but this is it. Oh, do you have handouts? Oh, great. Okay, that's perfect.
Sure.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
Sure. Oh, I think that if we wait to stop it, to have it stop ringing, we're going to be here a while. So, thank you, though.
The Vice President of Human Resources. So what they directed us to do could do more planning, more strategic planning for our disability initiatives and pull that into a diversity umbrella. So that's what we've been working on for the last couple of years, and we're getting to a place where we think that the planning process is going to be implemented. So Andrea is going to give you more feedback or information about that. One of the things that we want to really understand and to facilitate is sort of the, as you can see on the second page, the business case for disability. There are, I was thinking through talking a bit about issues of mental health accessibility. And disability is not something that, as I unfortunately present an issue, some people think it's like we're only talking about wheelchair accessibility. And we're not. We're talking about many aspects of disability and accommodations for students in the classroom, accommodations for faculty and staff, people with allergies, people who have mental health disabilities, people who have other types of health conditions that we don't think about necessarily in the context of accessibility, but take advantage of accessible elements. And the development of this comprehensive plan, a lot of people thought that we were developing a strategic plan. Well, I represent facilities, Kathy West presents student accommodations, and Lynette represents employment accommodations. The three of us can't talk about implementation on that scale and on a size. It just can't happen with the three of our team. So we're looking at trying to figure out this framework and engage the people that we'll talk about in a minute. But it's diversity. So often, people don't think about disability as a component of diversity. It's been a movement that has really encouraged aspects of disability. So one of the other aspects of this plan is compliance with law. We do have an obligation as Cornell representing the state side of Cornell, as Cornell representing the private side, and also the amount of federal dollars that Cornell receives. We've had obligations since 1974 to provide accessibility for our students' programs in the city. I do have a belief, though, in some respects, I think we're ahead of the curve in some respects. I know how I've been at Cornell now 13 years. And I know colleagues at other secondary educational entities that don't have a free car organization, that don't have the members of that we use on our executive steering committee. We know we have a way to go. We want to avoid suits. As some people have said quite often, there's a lot of options. We have a vast and reliability of someone suing the university for lack of accessibility. We also have concerns about audit. And one of the things that happens with audit, and there's been large universities, Colorado College, Duke, University of Chicago, and one of the things that's right now, that have been audited by the federal government. They will check and see how they are doing the compliance with both Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act and the Mental Disabilities Act. They will come in and they've done this with a variety of entities and we give them a time frame to make modifications to things. Sometimes those time frames are as short as 18 months to make modifications. And we would much rather have it on our own schedule and make sure that it's done correctly. We won't avoid an audit. I don't like that aspect of it because we don't believe it's a if, but it's a when. When they come in, we want this comprehensive strategic framework to be complete so that they can say, okay, great. I'll show you what we've done, I'll show you who this is engaged, show you the feedback that we've gotten from all of these different organizations, and really talk about how we can do this in a way that represents our the quality of the system. So, let's talk about the goals. So in the planning process, we have some key goals, and one of those is every day incorporating disability into the diversity initiatives of the university. Last year, they added, if anyone has ever accessing the university's diversity page, it has some goals, and it names specific groups in which we are enhancing diversity for, and disability was added to one of those groups, and we have really increased our programming and efforts towards disability as part of the diversity realm. There's that program tapestry of possibilities for undergraduates. They have included in the last couple of years disability issues in the tapestry of possibilities. So another important part of the planning process is educating the whole university about disability issues. So that as a graduate student, for instance, you would know that graduate students with disabilities are eligible for accommodations, that in the employment realm, graduate students are eligible for accommodations as an employee, that it's important for Andrea Lynette and I to know about disability laws and to educate our constituencies, but it's important that the whole university understand what their role is in assuring access for a program that you might plan, a meeting that you might have, so that a person with a disability would know that they have the same access to anyone's program, anyone's recreational activity, and they have that right to participate. So what we really want to do is raise awareness of all of the members of our university community. We also want to build ties with the Ithaca community and our surrounding areas so that we can support each other in improving access. If Cornell, and we hope to be this way, does find a really truly accessible university in all aspects, but if you get to go to Ithaca and it doesn't represent those same possibilities, then there's sort of a disconnect between our community and our university. So we're trying to build relationships with around the community so we all work together on accessibility. Part of the planning process is also recognizing that everybody has a stake in this and everyone has some responsibility for this. And so understanding what your role is in that is an important part of the planning process. And there are so many different programs at Cornell. We have graduate, undergraduate programs. We have our Geneva program. These are Geneva, are you a Geneva person? We do programs all over the world, and it's important that everybody not just realize that access is important at our campus here and what we do here, but all the types of programs, our child care centers, our adult learning programs. So that's an important part of what we're trying to achieve. So in coming up with this framework, Andrea and I might get down and we try to think of what are the key aspects of university life that need to be tasked with their own distinct plan that would do a couple of things. Allow us to assess where we are with accessibility right now, that will help us share resources, that will help us identify best practices that we can share amongst each other and get best practices from other places. And we came up with six priority areas. This is the physical access plan, and that's looking at things like building structures, transportation systems. Andrea is the leader of the physical access plan, so she knows better than I do. And, you know, obviously, this is an environmental aspect of things. We're looking at areas where the public has a tendency to visit, areas like Village Trace and accessibility, areas like Shilcox and accessibility. And things that are used in a multi-faceted way, we're looking at signage aspects of campus. We're looking at our maps on campus and making sure that they are inclusive of what we're working on. Different aspects of data collection so that we understand and can tell people where is there an accessible restroom in this particular facility and how do we go. So it is, again, not only concerned with wheelchair accessibility, but wheelchair accessibility on campus is a little bit changing, certainly, and so there's many aspects of that, but people without disabilities take advantage of accessible elements. One of the things that we're trying to do in the physical access plan is talk about universal design in terms of that. Our next strategic area are education. programs and services. So under the direction of the provost, all the colleges and professional schools will be looking at the programs that they put in place, what is the accommodation process, is the accommodation process easily understood and readily available information to everyone? What are the resources that can be shared in terms of addressing the accommodation needs of students? If any of you are TAs and have provided accommodations for undergraduate students with disabilities, you understand that there are maybe more resources in that area, so that it's not just an add-on job to someone else, but it's actually a strategic and planned out part of our accommodation process. We're also looking at all the other little programs that we do with visitors and try to make sure that we are compliant in every area of our educational programs and services. We're looking at technology. We are actually a step ahead in that we have been vetting a web accessibility policy that we hope, really hope it's close to completion, and that would ensure that we comply with standards that the federal government has established for web accessibility. But in technology, we're also talking about FM systems, like hearing assistive devices in large auditoriums that people would know how to access sign language interpreting and captioning, and other kinds of technology. If we're doing podcasts, it'll be a captioning of podcasts. So there has been a lot of parts of technology that has enhanced the lives of people with disabilities, but then it also has a way of trying to create barriers. And we want to make sure that the technology that we're using also represents as many possibilities for equitable access. In the communication realm, we're looking at how are we communicating with all of our constituencies and making sure that from the moment somebody thinks about Cornell and looks at our website to the time they graduate and they're getting information about convocation or the convocation address, that access is equitable and that there are multiple means of information available to people with a variety of needs. In employment, we have an accommodation process for employees, but we still need to really establish equitable means of sharing resources to provide those accommodations. And so we're looking at not just employment for full-time faculty and staff, student employment, graduate student employment, and how we enable people to have the kind of accommodations they need without taking away valuable resources from a department or a unit. And then emergency preparedness, which we've been working on a lot in the last year, but it's important to us that information is shared widely with not just members of our community, but visitors, so that when there is an emergency, information about how to evacuate safely and how to be prepared will be something that we would all know how to handle if the event is an emergency. So those are the priority areas, and I'm going to turn it over to Andrew. The next step in this process, it's a rather aggressive timeline from a policy implementation perspective. One of the things that we're doing is really trying to do this comprehensive stakeholder review. We hope to get everything completed before the end of the spring semester, but we are still doing a few aspects of that. We have three or four more groups that did the meeting over the summer. That we are trying to get feedback from. So right now, at the same time, we're also looking to select leads for those six priority areas. The physical access we've been working on and have like an access plan on an annual basis, but it's not as if we have to say, oh, we have to create all of these things. What we need to do is capture what we're already doing. Emergency planning and recovery does an extensive amount of work, but it's not written anywhere as to how that disability aspect of that is incorporated, even though it's still they're doing it. Or it may be written somewhere of how we can just capture that. So the feedback that we are asking for before if you can to the process. So we encourage you to think about it, to look at what the full plan itself, which is about 40 pages, is. And if you're only interested in one aspect of technology, depending on what your interest area is, we welcome any feedback, because that's essential to the movement of the process, because we will be going through this process and we have a time frame for implementation if July of 09. It's aggressive, but we're looking to really get move forward so that we can talk about these things when we have the opportunity to do so for several agencies at one point.
Are there any questions or comments about the process yet?
Can you repeat that, Andrea?
You can do a search on it, and that will leave you right there. Some of the information, like the map that's on there, is going to be updated with an interactive map that has a lot more information about schools and bathrooms and those types of things. So it's a work in progress. It's something that we're working on continually, but it's got information. Send an email and feedback on that to me at 845 or KF75. Either one. Or I don't know what I'm talking about, but
LC75.
Any of those. We'll be more than happy to take any feedback. Or if you have other groups that you work with that you're interested in more information, just let us know.
Are there any other questions? Michelle had a couple.
So just to remind the members, it probably wasn't until 4 o'clock that we were able to send out this draft document to you. So all the members, you've received this in your inbox. If you've been receiving GPSA emails, you'll have this. And so you can go through it in more detail at a later time. And then again, please do email your concerns. Because it's important that we get our grad voices out there. And I did make a few comments here on my own. I did go through this quickly before the meeting. And so just a couple things to point out. In terms of educational outreach, I was wondering if you've piggybacked with the Center for Teaching Excellence in terms of having workshops specifically for graduate students who TA, to make us more aware of what we need to know when we're TAs.
There was a workshop last year. We did a workshop in student disability services called the workshop with the center for, which wasn't the center for teaching
right.
At that point. But we share the same office week, and so we have been sharing information that we think are best practices in teaching students with disabilities. But certainly I think there's a lot that could be enhanced as the Center for Teaching Excellence gets off the ground, and I know that that's a priority for them. So hopefully you'll do that in a real level in your world.
Great. Another question that I had was, last year we had a student on the GPSA, and she fractured her ankle in many different places. And so we, in this group, became more aware of CU transits, or CU lifts, CU lifts. But one of the concerns that she found out about is that CU lift has limited, it has unlimited radius. So, in fact, she lived downtown, and she couldn't get CU lift to pick her up downtown and bring her up to campus. So I was wondering if your group is investigating that, maybe expanding the routes of CULIP.
I think one of the things that comes across in the transportation plan is looking not just at transportation for students, but also how employees are moving around the town and campus.
Right.
The CULIP, which operates out of our office, its real mission is to move people around campus to on-campus locations for class. But that does not mean that we don't understand that people need transportation other places, but for that to be improved, I think we have to look, and I think this is part of the transportation plan. Employees face the same problem. They have even more problems moving around campus because they don't have to do this. So I think we've got to be looking at it not just from this smaller perspective, but how can we address that more of a shuttle service that would be beneficial for everybody. And things have improved. At one point, the detailed shuttle was not wheelchair accessible, and now the detailed shuttle is wheelchair accessible. The campus transport system wasn't wheelchair accessible, it's become wheelchair accessible since the summer. So we are making some improvements, and so I thank you for that feedback. And we're trying to improve transportation digitally, too.
Great. And then, one more. So just in general, a lot of the things that you're discussing in this report, especially the physical improvement to structures and things, they're going to require a lot of capital investment. And so I was kind of wondering where that's going to come from.
You know, the only accessible entrance out of Warwick Street is on the public side. What we have really tried to do is use our planning process to take advantage of certain things. And I don't know how well people are aware of the new University Health Services facility that's being planned in addition to Connect. And they're creating potential surge space on the back of Willow Street. So we know that back. So how do we take advantage of that to create better access here? So it's really trying to leverage things that are already happening,
right.
And how do we incorporate accessibility as a part of that. There are certain things we're trying to include accessibility in with Showbox. City is going under a number of improvements for structural repairs. Well, some of the structural stuff we can incorporate accessibility as a piece of that. Is there an ADA budget for this?
No.
We have to be able to sell the concept on a pretty basis. And that's why we look strategically. We're not just going to go around and say, okay, let's do every ramp on every building. Where are they at? Like a ramp in the fourth case? Observatory probably is not the most important part of now is looking in improving access to the industry. So we know we have to have a solid sense of where we are and then know where we are and what our priorities lie. But one of the things is that we have in plan and sticking to it is really the thinking, for lack of a better term, about the finances that we have to be able to do that. Because yes, if we were not in it might be a little bit easier. Yeah, so we didn't have the age of the buildings that we have. Certainly aspects of it would be easier. But we're trying to draw that comparison between the contract power system and the downtown building on campus so that we have one corner and we have one aspect of the building. But the one thing I want to point out is that we have a growing number of students with disabilities on the campus. Significant increases that I've seen in the time that I've been here, significant number of people, staff and faculty, who need accommodations, but as we all have access to aging, as we get older, we need accessibility. We provided a lot of accommodations and information for a parent of an incoming freshman. Who needed access to the question. So how do we make sure that people understand how to navigate the campus and how welcome we are?
I actually have one more thing. I wanted to make sure I wasn't hogging the mic from anybody else. But also, one thing that you mentioned was having a list of meeting spaces that are disability-friendly, accessible. And so I was wondering where that's going to be posted. Because, in fact, we have a hard time just finding meeting spaces anyway. And so finding meeting spaces that are accessible is going to be really important, I think, as we move forward.
For spaces that are part of the UDP, we're changing that process so that if people have to be part of the UDP, university is the property, that they understand accessibility as a component of that. Part of what we received last year is a listing of the most popular spaces on campus. And we did ask them for the number of those spaces to be able to do that. Because it's not only about the space, memorial room is successful, but how we get here is
right.
difficult aspect of it. And you know, a lot of times we use it as a package travel of how do you get it to this place? And then once you're here, where do you come to the restroom? And all of those elements, what about the technology? What if you have someone who wants to participate today? Who's that? Your hard kids who needed access to this type of equipment. So all of that will be part of the thing that we want to have a comprehensive list. We don't know right now where that's going to reside. I think UDP will have some components of it, but
if we were hoping to add that to the R25 room scheduling thing, so there would actually be users check. Well, we're hoping, what we sort of envision are the best places on campus for planning and then to be able to put in elements that you knew you needed for your meeting.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you. We have your email address. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. So there, I just wanted to ask, there's a sign-in sheet that's going around. It's kind of low-tech. It's a little yellow notepad. If you can all make sure that you sign in. And secondly, there's also... Michelle made reference to GPSA email. If you haven't received an email from the GPSA listserv, for example, the handout that was just mentioned earlier, then contact me after the meeting because I update that listserv and I obviously need to add you, okay? We're going to move on to the election of two assembly seats. These are for two master's students. And so I'm going to open up the floor for nominations. And anyone can nominate someone to serve one of these seats.
You might want to give some background on the seat.
Do you want to go ahead and give background?
Okay, just as a little bit of a background, a few years ago, the GPSA decided to change, to amend the charter to say that we were going to add two new seats to the voting assembly. Originally, we had 17 seats, and we found that most of those seats were getting filled by PhD students, and that we weren't fully representing master's students well, because master's students are here for a shorter amount of time. So what we decided to do is we amended the charter to add two new seats, which would be elected in the fall at the first council meeting, and they're specifically for master's students. One of them is specifically for an MN student, Masters of Engineering students, because we realized that they are a huge contingent within the master's students. And so that's what we're electing this evening. So if you're a master's student and a master's of any kind, but also specifically a master's of engineering student, this is the time to nominate yourself, nominate somebody else, and we'll be voting. You would become one of the 19 voting members.
Are there any questions on that, on the process? Okay. Back to nominations. Are there any nominations? I have a nomination for Mario. Do you accept? Any other nominations? Yes. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Great.
And what was your name again, I'm sorry? Sasi. Spelling it right. Are there any other nominations? Can I have, going once, going twice, can I have a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Unless there's, is there anyone that is opposed? Then nominations are closed. What we're going to go ahead and do is pass out.
We can have them say something.
Oh, thank you. Yes, how could I forget? If both of you that are nominated, if you could come to the little area in the front, get a mic, and you have about a minute and a half or so to tell us about a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in the seat. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mario Rosen. I represent Pakistan through Carol Design. And I completely represent it now because it's going to be my second year for that department. Unfortunately, last year, our department was in our own money, which is our secondary meeting. The meeting that this year, fortunately, that has been moved. So I would like to take a more active role in GPSA this year, and having an open seat is very much something that I would like for one particular reason. If you actually look at your list, I notice that most of the voting members are actually from the sciences, and that design is, and visual studies, and music, and fine arts is actually drastically unrepresented, except for deaf. From the original planning. So I personally have been working to try to convince my friends from those other fields to come and attend meetings and get involved that that their fields are not being attention to serve. So I hope that maybe with this sharing of opportunity I would get the opportunity to avoid more of those concerns from people from the design discipline. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for either of the two candidates? Mm-hmm. Aaron?
Fortunately, last year I got to attend a meeting that all of the issues with mental health were expressed in the prime president's court of the established community to do like that. And I do have to say that is an issue that I know a lot of students, unfortunately, in my field have struggled with, and that if there is an opening on that committee, that I would very much like to be involved in that. Because graduate students more access to those mental health and disability issues that I feel that sometimes aren't necessarily addressed within our body.
Another issue is possible funding opportunities for professional master students. They used to get the TAship, the teaching assistantship, and there should be more opportunities for students who have an opportunity to do master's rather than just doing professional master's. So they can have opportunities to get into research and to kind of window. Rather, because from what I have learned so far, one of the few universities which doesn't offer MS in many engineering departments, at least they offer this professional degree, and you can either enroll for PhD or professional master's. So it's unless you want to stand up and apply for a master's.
Thank you to both of you. Thank you for your work. I'd like to see, given that we have two seats available and that there are two candidates, if we could entertain as a body a vote by acclamation. So is there someone that... yes, here. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, if you could just raise your placard.
And this is a vote for assembly and core representatives. So if you're a core representative for your field, go ahead and raise your placard. Voting by acclamation.
Okay.
We need to count.
Hold on.
Okay, all those opposed? None. Abstentions? Like none. Okay. Congratulations to both of you. Before we adjourn, I just wanted to make a quick two brief announcements. One is, we made mention of the graduate student initiative, and I know last year when we first started meeting, I didn't know what that was, and so I don't want to spend more of your time here, but if you look on our website, that document is there, and it basically is a blueprint for what graduate students' needs are long-term, and the students were surveyed. So if you are interested in learning more about the details of that, go on the website. And then also at the front of the table to my left here, there was a list of the meetings, so that's really important that you all pick one of those up because our next meeting is an assembly meeting on the 22nd. It's open to everyone, and it'll be at the Big Red Barn.
Correct.
So with that being said, can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, thank you. Can I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're officially adjourned at 6:54. Yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.